بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله أعد للمحسنات منهن أجرا عظيما. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: وتصبروا على بلاء والمصيبة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Alhamdulillah, respected listeners, we are now on lesson number 82 on the wisdoms of fasting, and we have discussed one benefit of fasting so far, and today we discuss the second benefit, etc. Firstly, the first benefit of fasting was fasting is a great act of virtue by which the angelic qualities of a person are strengthened and the animalistic qualities are weakened. The second benefit, fasting secures forgiveness for sins just as effectively as it quells the drive of beastly within. A hadith states that when a person fasts during Ramadan with iman and with the hope of being rewarded, all his previous sins will be forgiven. A hadith also state that the same effect for Taraweeh Salat and for performing Nafil Salat during the night of Badr, night of Qadr at least. Fasting, the second benefit is that fasting secures, safeguards forgiveness for sins just as effectively as it dispels the drive of beastly within. Because fasting allows one to control the inner beastly, animalistic qualities, then it secures us from sin. Remember, every person is a good person. Every person who has got iman has got goodness in him, male or female. And that person has to be directed to the right place. And this person who has got iman has got these beastly qualities in him. Whether we like it or not, these animalistic qualities are in man. These beastly qualities are in man. And when a person now fasts, then these qualities are controlled. And these qualities of animalism in man are suppressed and are put down. Now what happens? That because this person is not sinning, he is being forgiven. And forgiveness is what we are seeking. For a person going for Hajj and Umrah, for a person making Tawaf, for a person going to Arafat, Muzdalifah, for a person pelting the Shaitan, for a person running between Safa and Marwa, for a person making Dua, all these things, for a person making Salat and giving Zakat, what is the purpose? The purpose, person must get forgiveness. The person hailing and wailing and crying in Arafat and in Muzdalifah and in various places. Why? The person must get forgiveness. That is why you'll find certain people while they are making tawaf, they are only making one dua, Ya Allah, forgive me. You'll see people standing for an hour in Arafat, and only one dua is coming out of their mouths and their lips, Ya Allah, forgive me. Why? Because that is the day when Allah Ta'ala forgives, and Allah Ta'ala is waiting for His servant to ask for forgiveness. I will forgive. That is why it comes in the hadith that towards the latter part of the night, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy descends, and He's asking that, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive? Is there anyone asking for halal rozi that I may provide halal sustenance? Why? Forgiveness is utmost important. If we are forgiven, we are saved. If we are forgiven, we have attained salvation. If we are forgiven, we have got the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. If we are forgiven, we would go into Jannah without any accountability. Now, a hadith states that during Ramadan, when a person fasts with Imanan wa ihtisaban, and with the hope of being rewarded, all his previous sins will be forgiven. Obviously referring to minor sins, but the action of fasting is done and one of the benefits is that our sins are forgiven. And now, when our sins are forgiven, then the mercy will come in and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensue. Hadiths also state the same effect for Taraweeh Salat, because the hadith says that the person who stands up, Iman wa Ihtisaban, for Taraweeh Salat, then his sins are forgiven. Also for Nafil Salat, during the night of Qadr, Iman wa Ihtisaban, a person who stands with Iman, a person who stands with hope of reward, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives that person. And if we can get forgiven, then alhamdulillah, that's a mighty gain for us. And that's a mighty benefit for us, and that's a very good plus for us. The third benefit of fasting, a person develops a deep resemblance with the malaika by fasting. And the more he resembles them, the more they love him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that the smell from the mouth of a fasting person because of his empty belly is more beloved to Allah than the smell of musk. When Allah then loves the fasting person, the malaika will naturally follow suit. Now we should understand this point very carefully. A person develops a deep resemblance with the malaika by fasting. Because remember that the malaika are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the qualities of the malaika we should imitate and emulate. Because, for example, the malaika are obedient to Allah. If we become obedient to Allah, we'll resemble the malaika. The malaika are not disobedient to Allah. When we become not disobedient to Allah, we will resemble the malaika and become close to Allah. The malaika obviously do not have gender, therefore no passion, no lust, no sin from that direction. If we are able to control our inner desires, our passion and our lust and our desires, then we'll be imitating the malaika and we'll be getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The malaika do not eat. When we also do not eat, just like the malaika have become close to Allah, we will become close to Allah. The malaika do not drink. Now when we do not drink, then we will become close to Allah, just like the Malaika have become close to Allah. The Malaika do not engage in any sexual activities. When we become like that, and we have been given this opportunity while we are fasting, then by resembling the Malaika, we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Malaika, they resemble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not sleeping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not sleep, obviously. And then when the Malaika imitate that quality, they come very close to Him. When we also, that is why the benefit of Tahajjud Salat, and that is why the benefit of Taraweeh Salat, because when a servant of Allah Ta'ala imitates Allah Ta'ala, see, Allah Ta'ala does not eat, servant does not eat, he will become beloved to Allah. Allah Ta'ala does not drink, servant does not drink, he will become close to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala does not sleep. Now when the banda, when the servant of Allah does not eat and sleep, and now he begins to make nafil salat, he stands up for tahajjud, he stands up for taraweeh, then he is imitating Allah Ta'ala. Fasting is such a virtue because Allah does not eat, Malaika do not eat, the Muqarrabeen, those who are close to Allah do not eat. When we imitate that, we become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves that smell from a fasting person. And that smell generally is not a good smell. Sometimes when a person is fasting, then that smell that comes out is not favorable. In fact, it is a odor at times. Because the stomach is empty, the air goes around the stomach and then comes out of the mouth, and it brings with it the foulness of the stomach. And although it is not good smelling, it is not fragrant, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He loves that. He loves it, and it is more beloved to Allah than the smell of musk. Now when Allah loves a person, the Malaika are instructed that you also love Him. And this is a pattern of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we generally cannot understand or fail to understand. That when Allah loves a person, then Allah instructs the Malaika, you love Him. Then Allah instructs the Malaika to tell the creation, that tell the creation, turn the hearts of the creation towards that person and make him love that person. Now, it works adversely too. When Allah does not like a person, then Allah instructs the angels that you also do not like him. And then Allah instructs the angels that, O angels, put it into the heart of man that they also must not like that person. So our responsibility and duty is not to curry favor with the humankind, with mankind, but our fervor and effort should be that we should please Allah Ta'ala. And to please Allah Ta'ala is not difficult. We have made this thing very difficult by putting so many optional and nafil activities in our path of pleasing Allah Ta'ala that we worry about the optional and forget the obligatory nature things. You will find people that they make so much of nafil activity that they forget the farais. And you'll find in some areas of the world, the people only make the farais and forget the sunnah. Our attitude is that we must make our farais, we should fulfill our wajibat and love and adhere to the sunnah, we will become the ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love. But unfortunately, we put so much of emphasis on the nawafil, there on the optional, that we forget to do the farais. Hijab is farz, namaz, salat is farz, hajj is farz, zakat is farz, fasting is farz. That we are not prepared to do, and that we forget to do. We come for Jummah salat, but Asar salat is void. And we make the Taraweeh salat and forget the Fajr salat. Now all these things should be put right so that our perspective is right. And how much we do that for show business, how much we do for popularity gain, how much we do for fame and position, for seat, and how much effort we make that people must come to know me. And we go to haram functions, and we go and address people in haram functions, and we go and we curry favor with people who are sinners and transgressors in their functions, where there is intermingling of sexes, where there is music and dancing, where there is singing and screaming, where there is photography and video, where there is haram activities taking place. Unfortunately, we go there for fame and to be known. We go there not to dispense any knowledge, but we go there why people would come to know that so-and-so Maulana came there, so-and-so dignitary came there, so-and-so person of repute came there, so-and-so Mufti Sahib came there, so-and-so man of note came there. And we sell ourselves in the hope that mankind loves us. And then mankind, they clap their hands, and they show you faces, they love you. But in reality, so much of evil they talk, and rightfully too. They laugh at the people who compromise the deen for the sake of popularity. Externally, they're very happy with you. Externally, they will embrace you and smile with you. But whilst they're smiling and embracing you, they are stabbing you simultaneously. And in their gatherings, they talk ill of the person, of the Maulana and the Mufti and the man of Deen, that look at this stupid fellow, that he compromised all his principles and he came into our gatherings. So we should be very cautious. What? We should please Allah at all times. We should not compromise by pleasing mankind. And then to expect that we'll please Allah. You cannot destroy the Sharia and please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to leave out the mankind and the pleasure of the mankind and the whims and desire of mankind and the directives of mankind and the motivations of mankind. You have to step aside. Please Allah ta'ala. And follow the Sharia and conform to the way of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although you'll be classified as orthodox and fundamentalist, although you may be classified as a square and a snub, and although you may be classified that you do not allow modernity to take over you, or you are not with the times, or you're not moving with the times, and you're not dressing with the times, or not walking with the times, and your hair is not jetted like the times, but you are so-called orthodox, but you will win the pleasure of Allah. And winning the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, that is of paramount importance. And that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's happy with us, because we are imitating the malaika, we are not disobedient. And we are imitating the malaika, we are obedient. We are imitating the malaika, we are not transgressing. And we are imitating the malaika, we are fasting. And we are imitating the malaika, we are not eating. We are imitating the malaika, we are not drinking. We are imitating the malaika, we are not involved in sexual activities. Then Allah Ta'ala will love us. And when Allah Ta'ala loves us, then He will instruct mankind to love you. He'll instruct the angels to love you. He'll instruct the angels, the mukarrabin, those that are close to Him, love this person, I love him. Love this person. When the order comes from Allah, then the people, those under Him, will have to accept. The fourth benefit of fasting. Amongst the three factors which pose an obstacle in attaining salvation is the veil of customary practices. When fasting is observed with all its due right, and it becomes second nature to people, it will be safeguarded, it will safeguard them from against the evils of customary rituals. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any one of you is fasting, he should abstain from nonsensical and vulgar talks. It should not be noisy. If someone else then wishes to cast verbal abuse at him or argue with him, he should excuse himself saying, I am fasting. Now, in rituals, in riots, in activities, unfortunately, we have got a tendency of putting our own two cents in the ibadat. We've got our own sense of putting customary practices. Now by fasting, and when fast is observed with all its due right, then it becomes second nature. Because remember that when you do an action, let it be done according to the Sharia. When it is done according to the Sharia, then you are going to get rewarded. See, if Salat is prescribed, Salat is obligatory. That is why it is said, wa aqimu salah wa atu zakah, that establish Salah and give Zakah. Now our responsibility is to make Salah how Salah is supposed to be made. Just like how we have got the farais and the wajibats and the sunan and the mustahabats and the makruhats in Salah, similarly, that when you read, for example, you go to our website alislam.co.za and go to a book called Kitabu Soum, we have listed everything there. What you have to do when you're fasting, what you don't have to do when you're fasting. Generally, when the month of Ramadan comes, then you have a very simple list given by those people who print these calendars. And alhamdulillah, you can look at the do's list and don'ts list. That is very minimum list, because that list is extensive in nature. What we should do and what we should not do. And this do list and don't list of Ramadan does not only pertain to Ramadan. Many are those who say, okay, this is the month of Ramadan, now I'll become regular in Salat. As soon as the moon and Eid is done, that person stops becoming regular in Salat. And one of the reasons is that there is so much of emphasis put upon nafil ibadat in Ramadan that the person becomes tired and the person begins to despise making ibadat. But if there is moderation practiced in the month of Ramadan, the Taraweeh Salat, after that there is rest, and then there is no burden. People, in their enthusiasm for spiritual upliftment, begin to do so much of nafil activities in Ramadan, and they go and sit in i'tikaf, and then they exert themselves. You will get rewarded for that. But those very people who put so much of effort and exercise spiritual strength behind their ibadat in the month of Ramadan, hours they make ibadat, but come Eid day, come the Asr after Eid or Zohr after Eid Salat, they cannot come because the body rebels against them. You should have utmost moderation. When you make ibadat in moderation, and take out the customary practices, then you will be able to make something second nature. One of the most difficult things is that because we have added so much of things before and after the Farz Salat, then it becomes difficult for us to be regular in our Farz Salat. I went to one country that if you have to go for a Farz Salat, you have to give half an hour because of all the customary practices before that Salat and after that Salat. And when you look around in the masjid, there are very few young people, all old people. Simply speaking, those people who are now retired, semi-retired, they do not have activities to tend to, they are coming. But the young person does not want to come because he feels that half an hour of my time is going. You made a farz ibadat of salat very difficult. But the other hand, those people who only make the farz, I went to one country where only people make farz and they have got the cars not even switched off. As soon as the imam makes the second salam of the farz salat, they are out into the car and gone. No sunnat, nothing. So these two extremes we have to be very careful of. That is why people now, when they overexert themselves into customary activities in relationship to fasting too, then the person, he will become one not accustomed to doing the proper things. And it will not become second nature to him. So when you are fasting, you abstain from nonsensical and vulgar talks and should not be noisy. So three things Rasulullah is telling us to do, that we should stay away from bakwas. We should stay away from nonsensical talk. We should stay away from vulgarity. That means we should stay away from backbiting. We should stay away from slandering. We should stay away from useless, futile, vain talk. And we should stay away from rowdiness. That in our bazaars and our firms and our factories, we should not be shouting. We should not be verbally abusing. And we should not be quarreling. And we should not be screaming at each other. We should not be blowing our fuses. And we should be in full control of ourselves. And this only not refers to Ramadan, but outside Ramadan, even that everything should be in control. And if someone decides that he wants to pick an argument with you, or fight with you, or quarrel with you, and he wants to argue with you, and be vulgar with you, then you say, I am fasting. The character traits that a person adheres to while he is fasting, and he fully comprehends why he is doing it, then inshallah after fasting, in the other months of fasting, or in the other hours of not fasting, then he will become a good person. But if a person, for example, even in the state of Ihram, he is rowdy, vulgar, swearing, not focused on Allah, then outside Ihram also, his case is similar. He's just like an animal in Ihram, and outside Ihram he's still like an animal. So we should take cognizance of this fact that whilst we are in the state of fasting and we behave properly and we control, we are governed by the laws of fasting and we are disciplined, then outside fasting we also can be disciplined. And we also can be governed, and we also can be good. Otherwise, then we will defeat the aim of fasting, and the benefit of fasting will not become second nature to us. That we will enter the month of Ramadan like animals, and leave the month of Ramadan like animals. we will enter not disciplined and governed, and we'll leave the month of Ramadan not disciplined and governed. May Allah Ta'ala grant us ability. Inshallah, when we come back, then we will continue with lesson number 83, the fifth benefit of fasting. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.